Welcome back. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We've got a terrific guest with us today, Faisal. We have a regulatory body that makes sure, that oversees how our industry runs, that clients are protected. And there's as our listeners know, we deal with a population of clients that are transitioning to or living in retirement.
Correct.
And with age, sometimes comes some vulnerability and potential risks associated with that. Not exclusive to age, but in our practice, we see that as people get older, perhaps you have a diminished mental capacity. There's an illness. There, you know, it could be a number of things that do that. And our industry, and in particular, our regulator, takes this very seriously.
Correct.
About how to protect people that are in a vulnerable position. Again, not just 100% on age. And so we've got Andrew Kriegler, who's the president and the CEO of IIROC, joining us. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Just so that the population knows that's listening, Andrew, kind of give the idea of what is IIROC and what their responsibilities are.
Sure. So IIROC is an acronym that stands for the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. It's the national self-regulatory body that regulates investment dealers and their registered employees across the country, and also oversees the trading of equity and debt securities in Canada's markets.
All right. Terrific. With that being said, I do want to talk a little bit about vulnerabilities. Now, we've got a 10-minute segment to do, Andrew. I'm not sure we can do full justice to this, but I do want to raise awareness, or Faisal and I want to raise awareness about, clients that are potentially vulnerable. And that, as I said at the top of the clip, it could be because of age-related issues. It could be because of illnesses. It could be a number of different things. And I'm very interested in your take as the leader of IIROC. What kind of safeguards, what should people be thinking about, both from an advisory perspective, things that should be in place from a practice perspective, and what should families know about to safeguard against any potential vulnerabilities that they may have?
Well, I think I'll begin by reiterating something you said at the outset, Dave, which is the focus is on people, on clients who are vulnerable. And while certainly as people age, the probability that they may become vulnerable because of diminished capacity or other issues is a little bit higher, we aren't only talking about people who are older. People can become vulnerable at any point in their lives for a whole variety of reasons. You know, it can be because of a physical or psychological family trauma. It can be a life change, a medical condition, as you identified, or even something as simple as a lack of financial literacy and not knowing enough about the context in order to make important decisions in their financial lives. So, you know, all of us in the industry together, us as a regulator, the good advisors, good firms, want to make sure that people are protected when they are vulnerable.
Well, and I think that that statement is incredibly powerful in the sense that we are in an industry, Faisal, with an expertise that typically, you know, exceeds what our clients have. And so there is a vulnerability, maybe just in general terms about that.
Yeah.
I know, Andrew, you're speaking about something beyond just that for sure. But we need to address that in terms of people's total wealth needs or their trading in stock or whatever the case may be, about how best to handle that and do it. Andrew, I'd like you to speak to the IIROC's and your work and your team's work around this notion of vulnerability and how does a family identify or how should they think about a vulnerability themselves, you know, with whether it's age-related or not?
Sure. Well, I think a couple of things. First, let's try and put this in context so that people have a sense for how real this challenge is.
Yeah.
There are some interesting statistics that CARP, which is Canada's largest advocacy organization for older Canadians, it used to be called the Canadian Association of Retired Persons, it came out with some numbers a little while back that said that every 6 minutes a Canadian is diagnosed with dementia.
Right.
And that one in five older Canadians can be subject to elder financial abuse.
Right.
So just for those causes alone, there's people out there who are at risk. So we recently conducted a survey of a little over 1,000 Canadians to ask them about some of the ways in which they could help mitigate the risks of these sorts of vulnerabilities. And one of the first things we asked about was the idea of a trusted contact person. A trusted contact person that their financial advisor is aware of, that's put in place at the beginning of a relationship, or really any time if it's not there already, and that the advisor can go contact if they think there's a problem that exists with the client, be it a diminished capacity issue, be it an inability to make decisions for other reasons, or, at the worst case, potentially some possibility of financial abuse. And the reason we wanted to go out and talk about this was because it occurred to us that not very many Canadians have thought about it, and indeed, to be honest, not that many advisors yet have done so either.
Right.
So we wanted to look at that, and what was interesting about it is that there was overwhelming support from Canadians for the idea of having this trusted contact person. So that, you know, as part of the relationships that you would have as an advisor with your clients, you know for each one of them who you can go to if you think there might be a problem and you need to be able to get another perspective on the question at hand.
Now,
so that's something that we think is a first step that should be taken.
And I think it's wonderful. And you said something interesting, overwhelming support of the idea. In practice, the family dynamic, Faisal, is very interesting, right?
Correct.
Particularly with maybe that again, I'm speaking, Andrew, to sort of the client base and the listening population that
of course
we have, which is that older population. There's sometimes a reluctance for parents to share that information, you know, detailed financial wealth information, whatever the case may be, with their kids, as an example. Andrew, did you get in your survey, was there any feedback beyond sort of that idea about the family dynamic and how best to do that or
how to select a trusted person?
Yeah, exactly.
Because most people will probably pick a spouse, but that may not be the right person because of either experience, expertise, or lack thereof, you know, financial literacy we've talked about.
Sure.
So when it comes to what's the process someone should go through to selecting a trusted person?
Well, we didn't focus on that narrow question, but we did focus on a slightly broader one, which is what are some of the issues that are around choosing a trusted advisor, either the actual choice of the individual, which obviously is very circumstance or family specific, or around the rules, the guidelines, the things that would enable or give license to the advisor to reach out to that person and actually initiate the contact. And you mentioned in your remarks a moment ago the concern about privacy around financial information.
Yeah.
And that clearly resonated. So our financial lives as Canadians are really important to us. They're one of the things that we identify with that sort of define who we are, because it's not only your strengths but your vulnerabilities are all encapsulated in your personal financial situation.
Yes.
So, you know, giving someone else access to that is making yourself vulnerable all by its lonesome.
Yeah.
So one of the things that came out was, okay, lots of support for the idea of having this trusted contact. Tell us how you're going to deal with the privacy issues. And so one of the reasons that we haven't moved further along in this process yet was because we wanted to understand, you know, how big an issue the privacy concern was. And it's a big one.
Yeah.
So in addition to the trusted contact alone, there's another component that we ask people about, and that was the idea of what's called a regulatory safe harbor. So, you know, your obligations are to your client, and if you go to another person, a trusted contact, and say, hey, I think there's something wrong here, and at the extreme, I think we need to stop a transaction, say,
right. Yes.
That's been asked for by the client because there's perhaps they don't understand the consequences of taking that action, or, as I mentioned earlier, the extreme cases they're subject to potential financial abuse.
Right.
You know, those are serious steps. And so we want to make sure as a regulatory body that we give cover for the advisor to do the right thing and give that sort of safe harbor so that advisors can act in the interests of their clients. There was support for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish that thought. That's great.
No, the closing part is, but we got to do it right. And in going out to Canadians to ask them about the privacy concerns, we heard pretty loudly and clearly that that's something we need to put good guide rails around so that everyone knows the rules of the road and when you can make that phone call and when you can take the step of, say, freezing an account temporarily until you can ensure that the actions being asked for are good and right.
Well, and so I want to thank you, first of all, for, again, we can't do justice to this complicated issue in 10 minutes, but raising awareness for the fact that there is vulnerabilities out there and that it's a complex issue that we need to take action, correct, steps around, and that as an industry, we're in fact doing those things, recognizing what's happening. So at least for the time we have today, I think you've done absolute justice to raising that awareness, and I want to thank you for taking some time with us today.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
We've been joined by Andrew Kriegler. He's the president and CEO of IROC, our regulatory body. This is not going to get easier. Vulnerabilities are out there now. And again, Andrew would say that it goes beyond just an aging population, but the fact of the matter is we do have an aging demographic in Canada, and that aging demographic will face more vulnerabilities, right, mental or whatever the case may be, as they get older. So not diminishing the fact that there's other people out there that are all vulnerable, but our industry has to get good at helping people and protecting people from themselves, mm-hmm, and from predators.
Correct. And so we need to kind of explain how that happens in our process using the four buckets, our health bucket, our legacy buckets. We're also going to talk at our next seminar about this and how to profit and protect and bulletproof your retirement. It'll be on Tuesday, September 24th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. Now you need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You ever wondered what other people's retirement really looks like versus what they tell you? Well, stick around. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.